Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today's scripture is in John 11, 20-44. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Thank you, Myrtle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today, which guides us through life. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to hear your word and to hear how you desire for us to make the most of this life, which will bring you glory. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear directly from you. So, Lord, open our hearts to all that you have for us today. Lord, I want to move out of the way so that we'd hear directly from heaven, God. Lord, I pray that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that we'd all hear from Daddy today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. The title of my message today is "In Jesus' Name." Everybody say, "In Jesus' Name." We're closing up our series today on the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have enjoyed this series and just discovering God's heart for prayer in general? Yeah, all right. 1.5 people. That's great. All right. Let me ask you this question, right? This pertains to all of us in this room. What is the most important activity that you can do with your life? What is the most important activity that you can do in your life? Some of us might have different answers. I'm going to get to the answer of that question in just a moment. But I remember a pastor was sharing about the importance of shaving. And he started his sermon by talking about shaving. But then the story went on for quite a long time. And he got a letter at the end of the service. Please don't send me letters at the end of the service. And the letter said, "Next time, plan on not telling that story and shaving your sermon." And that's a dad joke. But anyway, I was just thinking about I began to think about another preacher who received a letter. Actually, he was from the United States in the 19th century and then made his way to Melbourne. How many of you know our dear friends in Melbourne? It can be a tough crowd, right? That's why the AFL finals are here. Just saying. Another dad joke for you. There you go. But anyway, the preacher's name was R.A. Torrey, and he managed to come down to Melbourne, took the long boat trip down, and he did it. He ran a crusade of preaching. He's a theologian and writer, and this is a picture of what he looked like back in the day. You know, he looks kind of trendy now. I know Movember's coming up. You know, he looks like a hipster from Vulture Street. Anyway, he received this letter, and the letter read like this. I'm just going to take a snippet of it. It said, "Here, dear Dr. Torrey," he got this letter just before he was about to preach. It said, "I am in great perplexity. I have been praying for a long time for something that I am confident is according to God's will, but I do not get it. I have been a member of the Presbyterian Church for 30 years. And I have tried a consistent one all the time. I have been a superintendent in the Sunday school for 25 years and an elder of the church for 20 years. And yet God does not answer my prayer. And I cannot understand it. Can you explain it to me?" Now, back in the day, you know, usually we operate with a lot more grace. We'll go aside and answer the question. But he answered this question from the pulpit. And I love, this is what R.A. Torrey said in his message, and it was transcribed. "This man thinks that because he has been a consistent church member for 30 years, a faithful Sunday school superintendent for 25 years, and an elder in the church for 20 years, that God is under obligation to answer his prayer. He is really praying in his own name. We must give up any thought that we have any claims upon God, but Jesus Christ has great claims on God, and we should go to God in our prayers, not on the ground of any goodness in ourselves, but on the ground of Jesus Christ's claims." At the end of the message, this man came to him on stage and said to him, verbatim, "You hit the nail on the head, mate." He received that criticism. Reminded what Tim Keller, the great author and pastor in the church in New York City, now leading a global movement of church planting, he said this about prayer. "In Jesus' name is not a magical incantation. To pray in Jesus' name means to come to God in prayer, consciously trusting in Christ for our salvation and acceptance, not relying on our own credibility or record. It is essentially to reground," catch it, this has been the whole theme throughout our time talking about prayer. "It is essentially to reground our relationship with God in the saving work of Jesus over and over again." Now, you've heard me say over the last 10 weeks that we've been going through the Lord's Prayer that the whole point of prayer is not give me. The point of prayer is to recenter our lives around the orbit of Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of prayer, to commune more than just around the realm of communication. And prayer is not a monologue where we're doing all the talking, but to be with God and hear him speak to us is all within the realm of the beauty of prayer. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we find Jesus teaching his disciples, and he says to them, and as he says to the crowd that are gathered at the Mount of Beatitudes near the Sea of Galilee, he teaches them this prayer. "Pray then like this," Jesus says to those disciples, and he teaches us today. "Our Father in heaven." So he starts the whole prayer off in relationship, okay? It's important when you start your prayer, any prayer that you pray, to ground it in the relationship that you have with God. Now notice, those four words have so much power. "Our Father in heaven." "Our" points towards that he's not just your individual Father, but he's the Father of all of us, "our." "Father" implies the relationship. He is the one who carries authority and yet cares for his children. And he's in heaven, which also speaks to the nature of his transcendence. He's the creator of the universe. How many of you know that if your daddy's the creator of the universe, it's like MC Hammer, "Can't touch this." Like nothing can, nothing is impossible if you are under the daddyship of the Lord. I know that's not really a word. Some of you are looking at me like, come on, Nelly. Hallowed be your name. So he moves from a realm of understanding Daddy is the king of the universe and we exalt him. We hold his name in the highest of priority. That's what the name, that's what the word hallowed means, right? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our response to that relationship is surrender. Then and only then. So before, like a lot of us, when we go into prayer, we immediately go towards the petition, but it needs, like, understand the nature of how God is teaching us through Jesus Christ how to pray. Start in the relationship, acknowledge that he is sovereign over all, and our response to his sovereignty and the beauty of who he is to surrender. And then from there, we begin to petition for the things that we desire to see in our lives. What happens is that God is not taken by surprise by your needs. Like when you pray to God about the things that you want to see in your life, he's not like, oh, I didn't know you need that. Like he wouldn't be God. But what happens in the realm of prayer is you bring the desperation for your needs into the alignment and understanding he's sovereign, he's daddy, he's the king of the universe. Are you with me? And forgive us. So move from the realm of petition into confession and then complete submission. Lead us not into temptation. So the struggle is real. Like in terms of life and the temptations that you may face from time to time. In the realm of prayer, we understand that when we submit to him, everything falls in the alignment under that orbit of Jesus Christ. Like everything revolves around who he is. Now, I asked you a question as to what the most prevalent or most important activity you can do in your life. The answer to that question is without a doubt, prayer. It's the most important thing you can do in life, with your life, with every moment as a part of your life. Ephesians 6:18 says, keep on praying in the Spirit at all times. Now, does that mean that everywhere I go, like in McDonald's, standing, not that I go there often, but I'm in McDonald's standing in line and I'm just like praying out loud? No, but the consciousness that I have of God's presence and being able to commune with him at all times, in all things, in all activities. Some of you are business people here. Are you aware that the Holy Spirit is with you as you communicate with your clientele, with the people that you serve? Are you aware, for those of you who are in education, whether you're a student or a teacher or in some form or capacity and serving in the educational realm, that you are a vessel that the Holy Spirit wants to use in that situation, that he desires to speak to you and through you? And so that's prayer, is just being aware of how God and his adoration and our submission and our petition and our forgiveness, moving out in that, being constantly aware of how we move prayerfully through life. John Calvin put it this way, it's pretty straight up. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. It's the number one thing you can do to exemplify your faith as a Christian is to pray. So by way of introduction, that's my introduction, because I want to spend, and can we give it up for Myrtle, who did a good job of reading around 20 plus verses there. Because, and I wanted her to read those verses because I'm going to break down these realms of how we position or posture ourselves in prayer, which is so vital for us to understand. Hopefully you're able to see that there's no life without prayer. There is no living without prayer. If you are a Christian, and yet it's surprising, as Christians, if you survey the number of Christians that actually take time to pray, the numbers come back quite daunting and quite sad. When it is the difference, our connectivity to God through this communing and communication that we get to have with him. I'm going to trust that your silence is the conviction of the Holy Spirit and that God's moving in your spirit to not just pray more, but to be with him in a deeper way. Are you with me? Like the objective of prayer is not just that you do it more or you incant more or you say stuff more to God, but that you're with him more and you're aware of his presence more, and that as he gives you wisdom to make decisions, because he's there with you at all times, every single foul spirit has to leave, has to dissipate in the presence of the God of whom you should be prayerfully in contact with at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise will continually, sounds like prayer, be on my lips. Psalm 34 says. So let's go to this passage that Myrtle read. Now, let me set this up, okay? They're in a place called Bethany. So you got Mary, and you got Martha, and you got Lazarus, okay? They're really good friends, siblings, really good friends of Jesus, relationally connected to him. But what you're going to see here is three different realms of prayer and the way God wants to move in the midst of prayer. Now, what has happened in this situation? Jesus, before this passage, if we read earlier in John 11, Jesus has heard that Lazarus is really sick. But for whatever reason, the Father keeps Jesus preoccupied in a certain place and does not release him to go to be with his friend who is really sick. Like, these are deep friends. How many of you have those sorts of friends that, unfortunately, because of coronavirus and the limitation of our ability to travel, we're not able to go visit these friends overseas or this family overseas? I can bear witness with that. And so for whatever reason, Jesus was not able. We know Jesus is God, but he's not omnipresent because he's in the flesh at that time, obviously being in human flesh. So he's limited within time at that point, right? So he had to stay there. And Lazarus gets worse. He gets sick. Anybody prayed and things have gotten worse? Anybody been there before? But to trust the Father upon Romans 8:28 is sometimes hard. For those of you who don't know, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul writes that for all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's hard to trust. Like, you see God and his promises in the word, and then you see your situation and the two just aren't lining up. You're like, God, where are you? Anybody ever prayed that desperate prayer? That the deepest prayer that you could ever pray, that four-letter word, not that one, but this one. Help! Anybody prayed that prayer before? No, nobody? Okay. And so what we see here is Lazarus gets worse and worse and worse, and he ends up dying. Can you imagine the inner turmoil within the hearts of Mary and Martha, who were friends, like really close friends, with fully God and fully man at the same time? Can you imagine the crisis of faith they would have reached at that point? Like, we know God. Like, we know him. Like, so know him. Like, we really know God. In fact, if you read in Luke chapter 10, right, God comes over to her house, like literally comes over to Martha's house and hangs out and has a feed, bro. Like, just chilling. That's how, like, any of you had Jesus come over to your house in physical form lately and you had nothing to serve him? Like, any of you? No, none of us can claim that, right? Like, to have Jesus in physical form. Like, that's how well they knew God. That's how well they knew Jesus. And yet, their brother who was sick, the news got to him. No internet, but it got to him. Yet he died. There are going to be times, my brothers and sisters, when you pray, and yet things may appear like God doesn't hear you, or God doesn't understand, or God's not all-powerful, or God doesn't care. And that thus was the situation. Now, follow me with this. I may need some help here. I may need three people up here to help me with this in just a moment. So I'm going to choose three people in just a moment. Let's read the scripture. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, okay? So Martha, if you read in Luke 10, Martha owns the home. Now, it's not necessarily that this was the home that they were at, but Martha is obviously a woman of some kind of wealth, right? And she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Scholars believe that, you know, that this is the house, was the house that Martha owned. And Martha said to Jesus, now note these words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This phrase is going to get repeated again soon. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So it's kind of like, okay, let's say this side of the ledger is Martha, the relationship with Martha. I know if you'd been here, my brother would have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So I know it. Everybody say, I know it. Turn to somebody else and ask them, do you know it? Do you know that God's... So What we're going to see here is different kinds of knowing in prayer, okay? Because it's one thing to know that God can heal. It's another thing to know the healer. You're with me? So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And this is how we know the knowing that she had. Martha said to him, yeah, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she's like immediately gone past Revelation and gone, yeah, I know it. Like, we're all going to rise again. I read it in the Old Testament, you know, like read it in the Tanakh, in the Torah. Like, yeah, we're going to rise again. So she's immediately gone to, no, there's no hope here. So, well, yeah, I know that you're going to map it out, but it's going to be, yeah, it's just going to be like it we read because I know that. But Jesus is like, that's going to happen because it's in the Word. But do you recognize the one who is standing in front of you is the Word? Is the living Word? Is the resurrection and the life? Like everything, because at that point they didn't have the New Testament. So everything was the Tanakh or the Old Testament, right? So everything that you've read, hello, I'm it. I am the fulfillment of everything you've read. Have you ever talked to somebody and they just don't get it? Kind of like you this morning with my terrible dad jokes, but like, have you ever like talked to somebody and given them an analogy or something and then they just, it just doesn't compute, just don't get it? Like, this is what's happening with Jesus as he stood in front of Martha. Yeah, I know that it's going to come on the last day. And he's like, I'm here. Many of us don't recognize what God wants to do powerfully if we will just come to the saving knowledge of who he is right in front of us. Yeah, I know he's going to come through. And God's like, I am the one who wants to come through. Like, know me. We think of breakthrough as an event rather than seeing breakthrough as a person. And the person of Jesus, he is breakthrough. I am the resurrection and life. Can I get one person up here really quickly? Who can I ask? Who can I ask that's not preoccupied? Everybody's turning away from me right now. Myrtle, come up here. You can be Martha. Not that the qualities of your character are like Martha. So what we're going to see here is that's the tomb. Notice the distance between Martha and the tomb. Like, she came to Jesus, confronted him, but she's not in that situation. I'm going to try and make this as short as possible so you can take a seat. Okay, I need me a Mary. Bianca, can you come down here? Everybody, give it up for these wonderful assistants. They will assist you in seeing it in person. Okay, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she, you stand there. We'll stay socially distant. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So this is Jesus over here, right? And when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here. You say that to her. Now notice this. What's the word that she uses to describe Jesus? Teacher. What do teachers do? They inform or educate, right? Stuff you learn. And that's what the knowledge of Jesus was for her. The one who taught her stuff. But you're going to notice a difference in Mary's approach and Martha's approach. Please don't ostracize Martha. Because I often read the Bible and you read Luke 10 and how she's the one that's like, well, where's she going to help me out? I'm the one doing all the chores here. You know, it seems like Martha gets a bad rap. It's just that's the level of her revelation. And you pray in accordance with your level of revelation. Some people just don't get it yet. And that's why we need to pray for the grace of for people to understand. Get that understanding because it only comes by the Holy Spirit. Through what? Through prayer. So notice the difference here. Here's Mary, aka Bianca. And when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, who was standing in private. The teacher's here, and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. So she comes to Jesus. And now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Okay. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her, so they're all like crying with Bianca and sad. Thank you for your Oscar-winning performance. Saw Mary rise quickly to go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So they thought she was going to the tomb to cry. But no, she was going towards Jesus. Are you noticing something there? Right? Like it's the posture. Like she knows that that's the situation. She can go there and stay in the situation, or she can go to the one who can carry her into this situation, bringing breakthrough out, bringing the resurrection and life out. So many of us get caught up in just mourning in the situation. Mourning is good, but it's the invitation of Jesus into that mourning as he mourns with us. We'll get there in a moment. Catch this. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Oh, wow, you're going for that. I'm just the narrator. I'm not Jesus, and I'm just pretending, okay? But man, go with it. Go with it. Get that on camera. That's an Oscar right there. Best supporting actress. Lord, if you had been here. You got a lip sync. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Give it up for Bianca. Amazing. Amazing performance. Now notice this. What do we notice about this? Martha said the very same thing, right? We can say the same prayers, but it's in our posturing sometimes that makes the difference. You're with me? Like sometimes we can say exactly the same. Hey, have any of you, okay, let's go there. Like spouses, right? Like when your wife, like wives in here, when you tell your husband something and then somebody else comes and tells him exactly the same thing and they're like, oh, did you know what I learned? I learned this. And the wife's like, I've been telling you that for like the last 10 times. It's the same thing. What's the difference? The posture. It's the posture of the person that came to tell the husband and then the posture of the husband's brain, because sometimes we don't get it sometimes. I got in trouble with a lot of men in this room right now. It's all about our posture. Tina, why is your amen so loud? Why is it so loud? I'm buying you lunch. When Jesus saw her weeping, now watch this. He sees you cry. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. God is moved by what moves us. God weeps with us. God mourns with us. But there will come a time. Understand this. Jesus' whole objective was to bring the kingdom of heaven into Mary's situation, into Martha's situation. But what was he waiting for? I want you to catch this. This is so important. The next verse is verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? He asks this question. Why? Because he's not satisfied with just leaving her in a state of mourning and just being sympathetic. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy can be like operate out of pity, right? Oh, let's just cry together. So many of us, even Christians, we have crying parties. But that's not the objective. The objective is to take our mourning and weeping to Christ. And this is what moves the heart of God. Because I want you to notice the sequence here. Mary is crying. Everybody around her is crying, but there's no solutions here. Now, the one that Martha did not recognize was the answer instantaneously in that situation. She was expecting, oh, the fulfillment of the prophecy will come at the end of time. And he's like, wrong, right? Like, yeah, I'm the resurrection and the life. You're going to see this. This is going to be to your benefit, Martha. And then he goes to Mary, and Mary's moved to the place of mourning. And get this, okay, please understand this. God loves it when you lament and mourn towards him. He does not want to leave you in that state. Here's the sequence. So she's with her friends, and he says to her, where have you laid him? Understand this, he's already moved, but he doesn't want to leave her in that situation. That's empathy. Empathy is compassion, which says, look, I'm mourning as you mourn, but I don't want to leave you in that state. I am the hope of glory. So show me where you've laid him. And what the Spirit of the Lord wants to ask you today is, where have you laid the thing that you're mourning over? I want to come. And what does Mary do? She says, they said to him, Lord, Lord means the one who calls the shots, the one who rules, the one who's the boss. Lord, come and see. At that point, Jesus wept. What moves God the most is faith amidst your mourning, is saying, Lord, I'm inviting you into my ugly. I'm inviting you into the tomb where it stinks. It doesn't just stink, it stinks. Stank, S-T-A-N-K. N-K-K-K-K-K-S. Thanks. A lot of us don't want to invite Jesus into that place because we're all about, oh, yeah, you know, I know you're going to come at the last day. So we show off our knowledge and our religiosity and our churchianity. And do you know that I've been a Sunday school superintendent for 25 years? We show off our position, and God's like, no, I'm it. I'm the one you need. You need the personhood of Jesus Christ. You need the power of what I can bring. And we're all like information, teacher, just education of what I've learned in church over the last 40 years. And Jesus is like, no, you're missing your miraculous moment that I want to bring breakthrough in prayer if you'll just perceive what I'm doing. And Mary is moved emotionally. So it's moving from the realm of religion to relationship. To Marius, come down here. You can be Lazarus today. Everybody, give it up for Lazarus. I mean, Marius. Get in the light here, because you're about to win an Oscar as well. Lazarus is dead. This man is dead. Okay. So Jesus. So the Jews said, "Isn't this awesome? See how he loved him." I know it's often said but missed, but Jesus loves you. See how he loved him. Like, Jesus is moved. It doesn't say that Jesus shed a tear and then was like that cop on Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, for those of you who have seen that great movie. Like, the one tear comes out and he's like, get back in there, tear, and the tear goes back into his eye. It's like Jesus full on, if you know the Hebrew context and the way that Jewish people cry at funerals, he bawled out. Because he had a relationship with Lazarus. And it was such a moving experience that those who were around Jesus recognized his love for Lazarus. Let me tell you something. The mark of a church that is alive in the Spirit is when they can see the love of Christ for the broken and for them in our situation. So verse 37 goes on to say, but some of them said, could not he open the eyes of the blind man and kept this man from dying? So there's cynics, right? Let me just say this really quickly. Cynicism always blocks celebration. Be careful that you don't get so cynical that it blocks the opportunity for celebration and the miraculous and the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is what can often happen. So you're seeing religion, relationship towards Jesus moving in the reality of Lazarus' situation. So Jesus deeply moved again. He came to the tomb. It was a cave and had a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Take it away. And what does Martha say? Coming with her factual self. Martha, the sister of the dead man, John had to point that out, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. I think they... King James says, he stanketh. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Isn't this some of us? We're afraid to bring Jesus into our stank. We're afraid that if he sees who we really are, caveat, spoiler alert, he already does. He wouldn't be God otherwise. But he likes the invitation of Mary and the friends. Come and see. Lord, come and see. Come and see the stank. I know you're not afraid of it. So we move. Not that Lazarus or Marius stinks. He does not stink. He smells great. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Come on, Martha. And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me. See, when God transforms you, you will never be the same, and everybody around will see the difference. Can people see the difference in your life, or has it become cloaked in religion? Or you settle to just mourn and stay in that position, or invite Jesus into your stank so he can transform you and change you. This is the lifestyle of prayer. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. One more dad joke. In the, this is the dad joke, right? In the King James, it's different, right? Why was Lazarus a loser in the Olympics? Because he always came fourth. Just really bad. Really bad. I'm on a roll today. No, you're not. He said, Lazarus, come out. And the man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips. You want to act that out? You're supposed to do like Michael Jackson's Thriller. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. This is what happens when Jesus comes into our stank, is he unbinds us and he lets us go if we'll just move out in his command. And he's saying to us, he's saying to all of us, you put your name there. And so he's saying, come out. It's time to come out. See, that's what prayer does. We move. Hopefully you can see three different realms of your prayer life and what it should look like. Please do not stay in this position where your prayer becomes more about the ritual than it does about the relationship and the reality. Because this is what religiosity does, is it keeps us on the level of I'm just doing prayer. It's an empty monologue rather than an opportunity to emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, wholly connect with God out of relationship and out of surrender, everything that I touched on in the Lord's Prayer. And then inviting him, Lord, come and see into what he wants to do in your reality. You want to see your reality transformed. You want to see his kingdom come on earth in your reality as it is in heaven. You see it here, modeled in this example. That God wants to be a part of your life. God wants to take over the situations that you find yourself in. But we often wrestle with them because we don't want to let go. And so coming to church or connecting with your life group or reading your Bible becomes an empty ritualistic activity because it's not connected to the relationship and the reality of where we are and why we desperately need God. Can you give it up for our actors today as they take a seat? Thank you so much, Myrtle, Bianca, and Marius. When I describe these three words in your life, which one of them describes the realm of how you pray and how you connect to God? If prayer is the primary or the chief exercise of our faith as Christians, then what does prayer look like in your life? Prayer is on par with breathing. You can't live without it. But how many of us as Christians try to? Living our lives as if we're breathing to death. Because life is found. Resurrection power is found in prayer. In that relationship that we get to have with him. So here's the reflection question that I want to ask you. How deep are you willing to go to keep Christ at the center of your reality? I'll read that question one more time. And then I want us to address this from a perspective or a point of how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you with maybe some specifics. I believe as I was praying through this message, I believe that God wanted to specifically highlight things, exercises that God wants you to press into him more for. Maybe it's deciding, you know what, I'm going to start the day, each day, with time to connect with God in his word and in prayer. Maybe it's not, again, not to perform our way into God's heart, but just to commune and be with him, recenter our lives on him. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's taking time to remove all the distractions out of our lives so that we can recenter on him. Maybe it's gathering your family together or gathering your household together. I know some of you may have flatmates or whatever, and then, you know, like saying, okay, once a week we're going to get together and we're going to worship God and we're going to spend time recentering our lives on God. But what are the practices, or what are the things, or how deep are you willing to go to keep Christ at the center of your reality? Will we be like Mary and her friends that would say, Lord, come and see. I invite you. So I'm going to pray, and I'll give you time to reflect and maybe talk with the person that's next to you. And let's just minister under the presence of the Holy Spirit as he's here. And for those of you who are watching online, as you're answering this question, I really want to invite you also to just note down maybe in the chat some of the things that God is highlighting in your life, maybe the commitments you want to make. And if you do need prayer for anything that the Holy Spirit is highlighting, maybe you're in a Lazarus type situation where you're seeing things not working out the way you expected God to move. Maybe you need to be stirred in your faith towards God. We want to stand with you as well. So let us know either in the chat or in, you can private message us as well right here on the Every Nation Facebook page, and we'll get in touch with you and we'll pray with you because we want to see God move in all of our lives here today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for that we're able to worship you and exalt you and have relationship with you. Thank you that you're a great father to your children. Thank you that you call us your children. I thank you, Lord, that we move in prayer out of relationship and not just out of ritual. God, you're desiring for us to go deeper in you. You're desiring to birth things out of faith in our lives, Lord. You're desiring for us to be vessels who would be used for your glory in powerful ways. And so, God, I pray for whatever it takes to remove all distractions in order that we would find ourselves going deeper in our faith towards you and having, Lord, the humility to invite you into the places that are really hard right now, the places where it may stink, the places that are ugly in our lives, God. We invite you into those spaces right now. Why don't you take a moment, just surrender those spaces and places in your life to him. God, we pray, Lord, that you would, not that you need permission, but we declare that you have access to all areas of our lives, our hearts, our situations, God, that you would, we would see your kingdom come on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.